Martin, which was more difficult for you, making the decision to leave this particular job or leaving the newspaper?
I didn't have any choice on the newspaper decision, you understand. The Globe Democrat, where I worked for 45 years, was sold out from under us. I guess you might say the Globe was ahead of its time in being a disappearing newspaper, right?
Right, absolutely. But, I want to talk about that as well.
But the owners, you know, decided that only one newspaper could make it in St. Louis, and which was tragedy. So that was with deep regret, you understand. To leave the Globe Democrat.
Sure. This was before Jeffrey Gluck bought it or after?
No, the Newhouses who owned it sold it to Jeffrey Gluck. Got it?
And you left,
so I left
prior to Gluck.
Most of the veterans left at that time.
Yeah.
This was in February of 1984.
Yeah.
See, more than 25 years ago.
Yeah.
24. So I was, you know, you might say grief-stricken, right, to leave the Globe. And leaving Donnybrook is entirely my own decision, you understand. And I want to emphasize, no discord involved here with anybody on the show or in with management. It's just I feel at this time in my life, it's wise to, if I'm not putting too much emphasis on it, a gracious farewell.
You know, you alluded to it, Martin, in your last response, and that is what's happening in the newspaper world today. What's your take on it, and where do you think it all might be headed?
Well, I've read your remarks, aren't you? You've written a book on the whole tragic situation, right? I'm in sync with your thoughts on the general subject of the, well, I consider the tragedy of the decline of the newspapers particularly. I guess I've become somewhat appreciative of the immediacy that the Internet offers news junkies like myself. I can go to my computer at any moment, you know, and find out what's going on. But I don't think there's any substitute for the handheld newspaper. I'd be lost in the morning without my Wall Street Journal, for instance, which I consider to be perhaps the most reliable source of information people might really want to know now or need to know, and good opinions. And I'm not putting the Post-Dispatch down. I don't mean to. But the Post-Dispatch today is nowhere near the Post-Dispatch of years ago, which we grew up with reading, right? And in my case, competing against. But I must say, I get the Post-Dispatch delivered to my house every day and will continue.
What would you say? I asked this question. We had a journalists' roundtable, I guess it was Monday, and your daughter Mary was a part of that. And one of the questions I raised, because I get it a lot, and I'll bet you do too, is what do you tell a young person today who aspires to become a journalist?
The watch out would be my...
it's almost as bad as short as don't.
No, I'm glad you asked me that question. Some months ago, I sent a letter, an email, now that I'm hip, to editor and publisher, which is the Bible of the newspaper industry for 125 years. Editor and publisher been, you know, covering the trade.
It's going down too, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. That's what I'm leading up to. My question was, what do journalism schools do now? Well, how do they justify being journalism school, right? If there are no jobs out there, what do they tell prospective students? I got a kind of a snippy answer, I thought. We'll address that issue, you know, down the road. Well, now, as you just said, editor and publisher is going out of business. It strikes me as, here I am laughing, I ought to be crying, because I thought how strange it was that a magazine named Business Week, right, which was one of the prime journals in the world of commerce and business, had to put itself up for sale. It was going out of business. So I hope radio isn't going out of business, Don.
Well, I don't think it is, but one never knows these days. I mean, things change so very quickly.
Well, I'll tell you what does disturb me, though, about all this non-journalism stuff. Bloggers, and if I'm using the word incorrectly, correct me, but these people who can get on the Internet and say any fool thing they want, including slanderous, scurrilous statements about people, and that responsible news organizations don't take it upon themselves, if they're able to block this type of stuff
the filter. You started to say that filter has to be there because people have a tendency when they read some of this material to think that it's above board, that you know, these are comments that are being made by reputable, informed, intelligent people, and that's not necessarily the case.
Because you know from your days in television, you were one of the foremost persons on Channel 2.
Thank you so much,
in the industry generally. You worked elsewhere before coming to St. Louis. There was a sense of responsibility before you put something on the air, right? And at the Globe Democrat, my main responsibilities in my earlier days as news editor and chief of the news copy desk was to see to it that this kind of stuff didn't happen. I mean, we stood. And then as editorial page editor, I had to be mindful that the newspaper's reputation was involved in anything that I might print. I had to be a little careful, not get too carried away with.
And now anybody can say, as you suggest, anybody can say anything, and it just put it out there and
That's
see if it sticks against the wall, as they say.
That's my objection.